Okay, it is started.
Perfect. Okay, today is March 22nd, 2022. And it's just a little bit after 1 o'clock, 106. And we're starting the IAPC subcommittee code enforcement audit meeting. So I'd like to get a roll call. And Aaron, would you like to do that?
Yes, please. Madam Chair. Representative Ward 4, Mr. Andrews.
Here.
Representative Ward 5, Mr. Clark.
Here.
And Representative Ward 6, Chairperson Pollock.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Excellent. Yeah, and I forgot to say my name at the beginning. So this is Lois Pollock, Chair of the Subcommittee for Code Enforcement. Okay, second item on our agenda is approval of the March 8th, 2022 Subcommittee Meeting Minutes. I've read over the meeting minutes. Have the other two commissioners had a time to look those over?
Madam Chair, Brian Andrews, and I have had an opportunity, and I would move that we accept these minutes as written.
Bob Clark, I'll second.
Okay, excellent. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, we have approval of the subcommittee meeting minutes from March 8th. Next topic is discussion of case review process. So we've got some code enforcement staff that are going to provide a demonstration of the permitting system, Permits Plus, to help familiarize ourselves with available data fields for our data collection when we're going to go through the code cases. So I see we have Martine Romero on the call. And Martine, were you going to be helping us with that today?
Good afternoon. I'm going to go ahead and leave that for Lori. I'm just going to follow along as fill in as we needed.
No problem. Okay, we have Lori Pumphreys from Code Enforcement. Hello, yes, Lori.
Or good afternoon, rather.
Yeah.
If we're ready, I'll go ahead and share my screen then.
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay. Let me get that up here. One moment, please. All right. So you should be able to see it says Acela.
Okay.
Can everybody see that?
I can see it. Can the other two commissioners see that?
I see it.
I see it also. Thank you.
Excellent.
So what this is what we've been using for over 20 years, and it's called Permits Plus. This is what is being replaced by InterGov, and as of Friday, I'm being told it's probably going to be beginning of August before this gets changed over. So we're still using it until then at a very minimum. It's also where Planning Development Services, they use it for permits, but our cases are on here. So I can just open a case and then just show you how we navigate through there, if that's okay.
You know, do we happen to have one of the cases that's on our list? We have the list. I don't know if you have that, Lori. We all got a spreadsheet.
I can provide one of the case numbers.
Okay, excellent. We might as well.
Give me a second to pull that up. All right, Lori. All right. One of the case numbers on their out of their selection is case number T21DV00715.
Okay. So I'm pulling it up. It's called APD number, activities, permit, etc. It's our case number as well. I did a search directly on that. It came up with one. We double click. And this is what comes up. So first you get kind of the screen where it shows it has the address, the case number, the owner, date it was opened, and its current status. And below that, you have several different buttons that take you to different aspects of the case. And you'll be looking at almost all of them, except probably these last three fees, SIRE and WEB. SIRE has been replaced. It's a document management system for like when you use Pro and you're able to access documents, that's now through OnBase, so it's kind of not working anymore. And the same with WEB. So I'll just start from the left. I'm gonna click on the base screen. And this is a case, again, that's compliant. And this gives you all sorts of information. It gives you parcel number, the owner, status, even it drills down to the township range section. You can see a portion of the description that we entered when we generated the case, the inspector area, and the inspector itself. And we have a couple little boxes here. One says red folder. This is something we used to use to indicate whether it was a generated from the ward office or not, but this is no longer used. And the W used to be for web, which we no longer use. We do use anonymous report. App type, if we go back to the left, we also call it subtype. So if the list that's been generated for you to review, it probably says subtype. And this is basically the type of code enforcement case. When we generate it, it's the major issue that's being reported. And so we've got quite a few, there's over 20 here. In this case, it's RWAP, meaning residential work without permit. And you can see that right there. We haven't got this one as a standard priority. We received a complaint on this date back in 2021, has the data input by. When we do the initial inspection, that date will pop up in here. But otherwise it would be blank if the case was brand new. And same thing, once we close the case, it'll also generate another date, which will be filled in here. Just like right now, looks like this was closed like a day after it was open. Some exit out of that. The next one is a people screen. And this pulls data from Pima County, the Pima County assessor essentially. So, when someone buys a house and they provide an address and name, they record it with Pima County Recorder. The basic information comes up. We look for phone numbers, emails, anything to help get in contact with the owner. And this is our customer service that does that. We can also add additional names in here, like a contractor or a tenant. The third one over, the third button says, this is for inspections. This is where you're gonna find inspection notes. And this is also information that appears in Pro online. So when you see inspection notes in Pro, it should be the same exact notes that you find right here. And there's, for us, there's only two types, initial and follow-up. So generally you're only gonna have one initial, then every subsequent inspection will be a follow-up. In this case, Inspector Goodman was out and made an entry. They have found that basically it doesn't look like a permit was needed. So we closed the case. And he even indicated that right at the end there. The next button is conditions. And this is where we add things like if we make a phone call, if we issue a notice, any sort of action we do other than conducting an inspection is going to be here. In this case, the case was closed. It didn't require a permit. So no notice was issued. It was just inspection. So there's nothing there right now in this particular case. We have another button here. This is where we go to print. If you're going to be in the system reviewing this and you ever need to print anything, the violation status two, that's a violation status report. That prints everything that has been entered in this case and is the best report if you want something, a hard copy to review something by. LHN, it's like lots, holds, and notices. This is more used by Planning Development Services. Sometimes we do add a notice. I know I do. If I go to court and I get a one-year abatement order, I will make an entry here and then and I'll put a end date. Usually they're a year, so I'll update that. And what happens is, when someone opens this case, they'll see this notice. It turns yellow and it comes up immediately when they open the case. So I'm just going to go ahead and delete that. Description is what our customer service enters in when we generate the case. This is the general description saying what the person is reporting. And we don't generally do anything with that. Location is the address. You can add additional addresses. You can add additional parcels. Generally, we don't do that. There's occasions where people own multiple parcels abutting each other. We might add them if they're all part of, if they're vacant, you have like three vacant parcels, we might add all parcels here. But more often than not, it's just going to be a single parcel, single owner. Events are where we schedule things like follow-up inspections. And this is just more of a process thing. Some inspectors use this. Some inspectors use our Microsoft Outlook, et cetera. There's actually another little program where you can schedule a follow-up, but actually Microsoft Outlook is better for us. Fees we're not going to use. That's more for Planning and Development Services, but it's still here. It shows up on our cases. And like I said, these last two ones, we don't even use. Is there any questions yet? Sure.
Where do you guys get the information for the email address and the, I think it was the email address and the owner's address?
The owner's address automatically pops up, and that's generated from the Pima County Assessor. So whatever information got recorded when the property was purchased, that's generally the same address.
What's on the website. But where does that email address come from?
So that we put that in, we have access to Tucson Water accounts, and what we look for are phone numbers, and sometimes those people provide emails. With the Tucson Water, and then we have legal access to that. It helps us contact the ownership. They're not always, they don't end up
accurate.
Always being.
Yeah. So the dates that we need to be looking at are the date it got generated, the date of the inspection, and basically the date it got completed. Those are pretty much the only dates, unless it goes to court and then it, you might have some more information in there.
Right. So on
we have a bunch of other ones we can look at too.
Example. Yeah. Look at something that might be in court status might be a good one to look at.
Okay. Let's see. I'm just looking at that list here. And two of them went to I don't know. I don't remember if we can pick out one that went to. Here's one that's pending. It might have some more information in it. It's T21DV07783.
Okay, Marigold. That sound right? Marigold?
Yes.
All right, this is a good one. It's in citation. So what I'm going to, what you might want to look at, well, first, I should start. So the case, the state here is when the case was generated, opened by our customer service staff. Then you'd go to an inspection. So we see the inspector was out, did an initial December 17th. You know, they indicated they found cash and debris, and then we'll be issuing a notice. If we go in conditions, so that's an action, and that's where we're going to find the notice of violation was issued. So if the inspector made a notation there. Also contacted by mailing is used in conjunction with that, so we know by which method the notice was sent. And in here are the two codes that he used. Sometimes we can do handwritten notices, or we can add the codes in here and print a notice, and that's what the inspector did.
So now, could you go over the dates again? So the date entered was 12/17, and is that the date? What date did it get received on?
Okay, so we opened it on right here on November 3rd, 2021.
All right. And then the next step would have been the field?
Well, field would be the status it was in initially before it was inspected.
Okay. And then when did they inspect it? On 12/17?
12/17, yeah, was the first inspection.
And then after that was a notice of violation. Is that what they did?
Right. So they indicated they're going to be issuing a notice for trash and debris in the front yard. So if we go to conditions, we see that that's correct. The inspector did issue a notice on that date.
Okay. So same date they inspected it in this case. Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes you might have it where they enter this the day after or so. So.
Yeah.
You know, usually, and then they issued it by mail.
And where's that part at, by mail? How do you know? I don't quite see on that screen.
Yeah, I don't know how it looks on your end, but there's a condition here. It's contacted by mail.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just didn't see it. Yeah. Okay. So mail. And then what's the next thing that happened? Is it just nothing's happened since then?
No, I believe there's a follow-up inspection. So I'm going to read a portion of this notice here. So he gave 30 days to comply on that notice. So we're going to go back to the inspection screen. Here's the follow-up, the area for follow-up inspection. So he went back on January 25th of 2022. The inspector indicated it doesn't look like there's any more refuse, but they still had storage in the carport and is going to be issuing a citation.
Okay. And then where do you see if that was done yet or not?
Well, that should be in here. So if the citation was written, we would also have this entered in here, and I don't have an answer why it's not. So maybe something happened in between.
How do you know in that screen, how do you know what each of those little line items is. So if you go back to that screen you were just at. Okay, and the top one, contacted by mailing, notice of violation issued. And what were the next two? The ends, NP? That's just what the issue is, the neighborhood preservation, what section of the code?
Right, so when, we can create notices in the system and print them out, but we have to
got it.
Add, like I would go add item.
So they don't have to type it all out. It just comes from the system.
Yeah, and so it's an easy way for us to do that. Or they can write it out. We have blank forms and we put in the codes and all the same information, but it's written by hand, of course.
So now, how do you know if a citation, so in this case, we're down to, they had the follow-up on 125. They said a citation is going to be issued. How do you know if it did get issued?
Well, generally, it would be listed here. So there's, so if I got it here, I think it's there. I had to find the code number. So So if I were the inspector, I would add this item, citation issued, and I would add an entry. Put my name. It has a date.
Yeah.
The enter date.
But in this case, this was not in there.
And it may be just an oversight, you know, and the inspector didn't log it. So we'd have to get back with the inspector to find out why it's not in here. But if that information was here, we could look up. It should list the citation number, and then we can look up on City Court. They give it a case number at City Court. We give it an arraignment date. We'd also indicate the hearing scheduled as well.
But so if there is no entry that says citation issued, then should we assume that one wasn't issued and it's kind of in limbo somewhere? Or what? Or just write down there's no record of that?
Well, there could certainly be one issued and the inspector just simply didn't log
okay.
it.
Okay. We would just make a note that the system didn't show a citation issued, and then we would have to do like a follow-up, you know, just find somebody who could tell us, did this happen or not, and where are we at on this case?
But, you know, things going normally, you know, that would be in here.
Right. So what we're doing is we're going to collect data on the case and probably type out spreadsheets. So for myself, I think what I'd do if I was looking at this one, I would write down this citation or this case number, and then I would say it's open, and then it stopped after the follow-up on 125, and we would just need to know, was there a citation issued? And we couldn't do that. We just have to ask you guys to do a review of that and let us know so we could add more notes to our data collection, basically. It like you said, it could very well have been done and be on its way somewhere. It just doesn't have enough information. So to the other commissioners, that's a good piece of information to note if it stops and we just don't know where it's at, to collect that information. And then have somebody go back and research it for us. And that doesn't have to be at the time we're looking at it. We can just say, okay, this case number 07783, but it doesn't have enough information to tell us where it's at. Okay. I have another question. Does you guys used to have a system where you mailed a notice, not a notice of violation, but like a 15-day notice to the homeowner or the, I don't know if it's a homeowner or the resident. You used to mail a postcard or a letter or something saying, you know, there was this complaint. Is that, and I don't have, you know, I can't just pull up your procedure book. I have it, but I don't remember if that was in there. Is that something that you don't do?
Well, I think what you're referring to is a courtesy notice. We used to do postcards a long time ago. Then we came up with a courtesy notice, and we are sending them for weeds now in another system. But we did used to do them out of here. So we do, it's still in here. And I'll just preview it. Kind of like this courtesy notice. It goes to the owner, at least from the system here. And I'm sure you've seen something like that before. And it's the one we're sending now is very similar, but it goes to the person on the, whoever has the Tucson Water account or Environmental Services account. And then that's followed up by Environmental Services Supervisor before we generate a weed case. And then TPD is still doing Jane V.
Okay.
But we're also sending another courtesy.
So if it's a weed case, it's still going to be in here.
But if it doesn't,
it's still going to be in Permits Plus.
If it's unresolved after the courtesy notice is followed up, then we, code enforcement, will have a case in here, you know, in this, you know, we started that after we took it back from TPD. So.
Okay.
And then the notice, I'll just show you what the notice.
So how, do you guys have another way of keeping track of that? So somebody calls in and says the neighbor down the street has weeds and that are more than 6 inches tall. And so you guys put it in another system to keep track of it while you send the 15-day courtesy notice?
Right. We have our environmental services team handle that. It's through the billing system. We call it Navaline. They're able to generate work orders. And so what they're doing now is, so we'll take the weed complaint, they'll generate a work order for an environmental services supervisor to follow up in 2 weeks. They generate a courtesy notice and they mail it out. Once the supervisor follows up, determines it has not been abated, they give that back to us, and our customer service team opens a case here in Permits Plus for one of our inspectors. And then we're generating a 30-day notice, which allows us to enter the property for abatement after 30 days. And then we can kind of bypass having to write a ticket and resolves those issues much quicker. You know, and any
now,
possible, it can be leaned back to the property owner.
So is that in your code enforcement handbook or procedure book?
I don't think this particular process, since it's so new, is in the code enforcement manual.
Okay. So...
But that could be provided to you.
Oh, okay. So it's in an, it's written down somewhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Aaron could maybe get that from you and send it to us, because that would be helpful to know, because that's a more recent change, I'm thinking, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that would be helpful to know, because it's something that you're doing that isn't in the material we have already. Okay.
Madam Chair, Martin has his hand up in case you want to address him.
Oh, okay. Martin, go ahead, please.
Yes, Madam Chair, I wanted to just kind of give a little bit of an explanation about a few of the fields and a few of these things that we don't see in Permits Plus. One of the things you're not going to see in Permits Plus is if the inspector's on extended leave because of an illness, or an inspector has moved to a different division. So in this particular, and the reason I'm stating this, because in this particular case, I'm looking at whether the citation is and what this inspector was doing. I have more of the knowledge of, of what the inspectors are actually doing in the field. This particular inspector is assigned to the east side area. Late last year, we had another inspector in that same area, a little bit above Golflings, leave and go to another department. So this inspector had to absorb, this inspector along with another inspector had to absorb the other area, and to help bring that other inspector's area up to date, if you will. And Permits Plus won't capture that. It won't capture that an individual has either left or is on extended leave. I also know that this particular inspector who had this case, he was on extended leave for 4 weeks due to family illnesses. And he has just came back from a 2 week period of a family illness. And I just spoke with him regarding some of his issues. The system doesn't capture that, and it won't. It doesn't allow us to put that in there for obvious reasons. One is the biggest thing, which is the HEPA violations.
Oh yeah,
can't put
personal data.
Yeah. Absolutely. But what I can't say is, what they do is with the inspectors, when I assign them another area, it's just like I have another area on the other side of town where the inspector is on extended leave due to an illness also. And I just had one inspector come back from a 3 week leave. It won't capture that information, and it's very difficult to pass cases to another inspector if that inspector is still currently employed here, because it leads to a lot of confusion in the public when they look into PRO. And it's unfortunate that the system doesn't catch this, and I don't even believe our new system would capture it.
No, that's totally understandable. I think maybe if it would be okay when we're collecting information, maybe somebody could tell us. We aren't gonna care who it is. Probably, it'll just be trying to tabulate what the reasons were if a case wasn't kind of as timely as it should have been, you know.
Absolutely.
Because it all boils down to a resource issue. You know, there's a lack of a resource for a reason. You know, the particular reasons aren't going to probably matter because it'll just be basically, you know, you only have X amount of resources, and if you pull one person out even, it's going to be X minus one, and then you'd have to have some, like you're saying, if the person wasn't coming back at all, you'd probably have some way of doling out those cases so they could all be done, you know. But if they were coming back, or it's short term or whatever, you may leave them there. You know, that's a management prerogative, basically. And so, but I get what you're saying. So we'll have to keep in mind some reasons, because I think we've all seen during the audit that sometimes there's just resource issues, lack of resources for various reasons. And so we were, you know, there may be some opportunity for improvement or something that pops up along the way for something like this. But you wouldn't want to put in the case notes anything about, you know, employees, or, you know, it's like I said, I don't think anybody will have a problem with that.
Correct. And for the most part, the inspectors are pretty good about putting in when the citation was issued. This isn't citation status, this particular case on Marigold, and it does say citation status. The other one thing that I wanted to bring to mind is when you're looking at a case number complaint, and this one, in this case, the number is T21DV07783. We could have had another complaint with this particular address that might have a different case number that the inspector might be issuing or working off of that. And that's always that sometimes obviously it's not caught by the person who's actually generating the case. And sometimes it isn't caught by the inspector just because of their caseload. When I ask people or when people tell me that they're in pro and they can't see what's going on in this case, there's no entries. What I personally do, I look at the address and I look at the address and I say, okay, the reason you don't see anything, any movement on this case is because maybe there's a case that's opened up under a different T number that doesn't reflect when you're looking up the actual T number. And the T I'm referring to the actual beginning of the number T and then 21DV.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that before, actually.
Yes, ma'am.
So we'll have to... I'm assuming that there's going to be somebody helping each of us look at these. Well, I don't know how we're going to be approaching that yet, but I don't know if somebody's going to be working with us to look at the case or if we're going to be allowed access. We haven't really arrived at that conclusion yet, I don't think. And so either way... we'll have to ask a question. Okay,
absolutely.
Why do we think this one looks like it's still open? And it's not correct. Obvious. Yeah. So
I believe Mr. Andrews has his hand up.
Okay, Mr. Andrews.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering if the system has a summary report function where you have all these different tabs with different data that would assimilate them into a single report. And then a second question is, since the code enforcement department is acting only on complaints, is the name of the complainant entered into the system and is it retained should the inspector need to follow up with questions, or is all of the data gathered at the time a complaint is submitted to the department by the screener and then the name of the complainant just totally dropped off of the case itself?
Yeah, so who can answer the question about whether there's a summary report?
I can, Madam Chair.
All right, Lori.
I've highlighted what it's called, the violation status report, and I'll just preview this. It basically shows everything. Just like you were saying, kind of all the tabs, all the same information. Like the base screen information at the top, notes and conditions. I don't know why inspections doesn't come first, but the conditions like the mailing, notes of violation, the code. And then we finally, at the end is when we get the inspections and it lists those as well. So yes,
is there any way to get a report for our 100 sample? I think that was the question, whether there's a summary report for all of the cases that got selected for through the sampling. Probably.
We could run this report for each of them if that's necessary.
Uh-huh. But there's not one that can be tabulated like in a spreadsheet where you could export all this to a spreadsheet and then see it all case by case. Be a giant spreadsheet.
It would.
But,
I'm up to the challenge if that's something the committee needs, or we can print these do the summary for each one individually, hard copy. I'm also available if you want to do this in person, and I can help guide whoever's reviewing these, even if that's multiple times, or we can also get logins. I'm sure that
Aaron, do you have any knowledge of that at all? Whether that report could just be exported to an Excel spreadsheet, and then we could just put these in an Excel spreadsheet?
Madam Chair, I've worked with Permits Plus on some different projects, and as you can see on the screen, Permits Plus, when I first looked at it 15 years ago, it was slightly outdated at that time, and it has not gotten any updated over those 15 years. So the functionality is limited.
Yeah.
Lori, if you go back to what were your print options on that, the violation status report? I'm thinking at a minimum, we can export each one of the reports for the 100. We can add them into a Excel spreadsheet. And that way, if the commissioners want to see everything together, they can. So that's your print preview. If we mess around with that, it looks like you might be able to print it to PDF.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But not so, to like CSV, not to Excel type format.
When I tried to do that on Permits Plus for the other project I was working on, the CSV exports didn't line up very well in Excel. So there was a lot of time spent. It was just more jumbled than it needed to be.
Okay. So I think Commissioner Andrews, does that answer that part of your question?
Kind of.
Thank you. Yes, that does answer it. And it seems like that report puts all the data in one easily accessible for us to look at as we do the review of all these cases rather than scrolling through tabs on a computer. I'd be interested in your opinion as well.
Yeah, that might work. It's just getting used to where it all is in there and reading it. And we all don't have to do the same. We're all going to be looking at the same information for each case. Some people might find it easier to look at a report, and another person might find it easier to sit there and look at the screen. So I think we're probably pretty open as to how each of us can look at our cases. Sometimes I like looking at things on the screen more than paper, but it's personal preference a little bit. And now the second part of your question, I can't remember what it was. I'm sorry, Mr. Andrews.
It had to do with the complainant calls in or sends an email with maybe pictures downloaded or uploaded to the complaint. If that goes into Permits Plus, and if it's retained or if that gets dropped off, and if the inspectors actually ever, if it would be indicated if the inspectors ever made contact with the person that filed the original complaint to gather preliminary data.
So there was a field there in Permits Plus that said whether the complaint was anonymous, yes or no. So is there any additional information that goes with that, yes or no?
If I may, Madam Chair, this is Lori.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So most of our cases are opened as anonymous, whether we're aware of who generated the complaint. It's treated as anonymous. If the complaint specifically states they want to give the inspector their information, we just email it separately. And apart from this, we don't want the information coming up I'm waiting on public, you know, for public access, you know, when it's just
okay.
They keep it the report ease anonymous.
So I think that answers Commissioner Andrews' question. They don't keep track of who submitted it because this is all public information. And so it's been the experience of neighborhoods that sometimes people want to take action against people that reported them. And so most everybody I've run into doesn't want their name associated with the case for that reason. It's the first thing people want to do a lot of times is blame somebody. So it's unfortunate, but it's kind of the way it is. I have another question about your online system. You can upload a picture, or maybe your inspectors can take a picture when they go out if they thought they needed to. Where does that go? Is that in Permits Plus somewhere?
That actually is uploaded through Pro, or I'm sorry, OnBase, which is the most current document management system, and then it's reflected in Pro.
Oh, okay. So you guys use Pro for that part of it.
Right. And
is there a notation in the case? I don't think this is going to turn out to be an important piece of information that we collect. I'm not sure. But is there a note in Permits Plus that says, hey, there's a picture in Pro?
Generally not. We don't notate that. Some inspectors might, but it's not necessarily.
Okay. So do the inspectors automatically go to Pro and see if there's something? I don't get how it matches up, how they would know that photo that got submitted on, say, your online form.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, how does that get matched up?
So if there's a photo provided by someone submitting a complaint, and that's the online report, our customer service team is directed to forward that email directly to the inspector. So they have access to see it. So, and that photo is not uploaded to Pro. Open.
So they would just send it to the inspector if they knew who the inspector was.
That's correct.
Okay. But then later, so say an inspector leaves or is on vacation or whatever, nobody has access to that unless they can go to their email and retrieve it, maybe.
Correct. They'd have to have access to their email and be clocked in and working. So you're talking about right here. I have the code violation report right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
we upload that.
Yeah, down at the bottom, you can hit the upload.
Right. And so then what that does is when you hit, so you upload it and then you hit submit, that becomes an email into a general web mailbox and then includes the photo. And then we can send that as a forwarded email to the inspector. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. I wasn't sure how that happened. Okay,
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Martin Romero. Another piece of information that might be useful is sometimes when the actual constituent sends out the potential violation, they'll send a picture of it, the inspector will conduct the inspection, view the violation, and maybe by the time it comes close to issuing the citation, if not all the violations are abated, the inspector is then charged with taking a new photo of the current violation at the date of the actual citation will be issued. We cannot issue the citation just based on the information from the complainant, from the original complaint. Because when we issue the citation, as you know, the Lori will have to, or the inspector will have to prove that the charge was in violation at the date of the citation, not the date of the actual initial inspection.
Correct, yeah. So
okay.
Even if somebody does submit a photo, you have to see it for yourselves in order to validate the condition.
Absolutely. And yeah. And the date of the violation occurred when the citation is issued, not when the notice was issued.
Right. Okay, so my question to the commissioners is, do we have enough information about how Permits Plus, what information Permits Plus has in it for collecting information on cases?
Madam Chair, Brian Andrews, and my opinion is yes. And I guess deciding the easiest way to review that information, it seems as though the summary report is a very easy way to look at all the data after we decide on what it is we want to look at in each of these cases. And that's something we have yet to determine.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, this is Bob Clark. I tend to be more of a paper person than a computer person. So.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Yeah. I can, sometimes, you know, you can write all over paper, you know, and circle things and yeah, put them in stacks and yeah, it could, if you print them at all.
I have trouble finding my front pocket, much less finding something on a computer screen. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. I think it, you know, it sounds to me like, you know, it might be preferable to look at these on paper, and maybe we could just get a summary of each case sent to the people who are reviewing those. So we've got three commissioners. We're going to split the cases up, and then just we can each get our own cases and then come up with their own summary sheets on what we reviewed.
Madam Chair, would each one of you like those as an actual paper packet mailed to you? Or would you like them as a PDF of the summary sheets emailed to you?
I think in some, I don't know, it'd be people's preference. I think in some ways I'd like to have paper so I could just stack them up and move them around and, you know, see what has an issue. That might be easier, or we'd probably just have to print them ourselves. Commissioners, what do you, Commissioner Clark, do you have any, would you like a paper copy mailed to you?
Well, if I got the emails, I could probably print them out. I need to have a way of getting onto the deck, the forms that you've been using.
How to get access to Pro? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you would either need access to Pro, or they could print us out the summary page for each one.
Yeah.
I think it's probably two pages, but print us a summary page front and back or something for each case. And so then we wouldn't need access to Pro.
Yeah.
But you could, you know, if there were any questions, we would just have a contact person that we could get in touch with to talk to or email about, you know, questions that we didn't understand the notes or something.
Right.
If there were some other questions. And Commissioner Andrews, do you have any thoughts on whether you want a paper copy or or electronic?
I think the electronic transmittal of the PDFs would be the easiest for everyone. I can print out, you know, we'll each be dealing with about 33 pieces of paper or PDFs actually. And I don't know, in the Excel spreadsheet that we received last week, there's a list of all the, there's different abbreviations or acronyms and the definitions of what those mean. If there needs to be something like that to accompany the PDFs to help us with what abbreviations are routinely used in the reports to help us be effective.
So if it was something other than what's in the spreadsheet, because yeah, there was one page called proposed, and it had just the case type. CFIR was fire at commercial building, CWOP work without permits. So if it was something other than that.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I never got that list of definitions.
Oh, it was in the same spreadsheet. Did you get the spreadsheet of all the cases?
Yeah, but I couldn't find that addition. I saw it on the screen one time, but I was not able to pull it up from the spreadsheets I got.
Can you open the spreadsheet that you got?
Yeah.
Not necessarily right now. Okay. And there were four tables in there. One was the samples with all the case numbers. The next table was a pivot table. The next table was, I'm not sure what the difference was between that. And the fourth table was called proposed. It was a tab in the workbook. And the proposed tab had all these. It had the percentages of the case type breakdown, refuse, weeds, property maintenance. And it also had all those definitions in there for the case type only. I'm not sure if there are more abbreviations or not in the case notes. We wouldn't know, I think, until we started looking at them.
You have to go back up for me a little bit, because when I pulled out the cases from the email that was sent me, there weren't any tabs.
There should be. Did you open it in Excel, or did you just let your email open it? Because sometimes your email, yeah, you have to click on the Excel workbook file name and launch it through Excel, and then you'll see the tables. Otherwise, I think you'll only see the first page on the spreadsheet.
Okay,
Madam Chair, we will attach the glossary along with the PDF file just for convenience.
Yeah, that'll be easier. Okay.
Bless you.
So now, I can't remember now if we decided who was going to get what cases. Were we just going to go, one of us gets the first 33 and the next one gets the next 33? I can't
Madam
remember
Chair,
what we...
Yes, we have them allocated to everybody. I'll resend that information also.
Did you send that already?
It might have been the color-coded. In our last meeting, we... did the allocation, color-coded everybody with a split starting from the top down, and everybody has a sampling of each ward, and it's basically built on date range. So we sorted by earliest to latest, and then did the basically first 30 or so for one commissioner, then second commissioner, third commissioner.
Oh, okay. Because I don't think I got that.
I didn't either.
What I see when I've got all your notes in here, but I don't see that. So, please send that over. That would be great to everybody so we know which cases we're going to be looking at. And then if you, I don't know who's going to be getting us the summaries, but if and how that's going to come. Can everybody receive a zip file if they send a zip file? I know I can.
Some people do have, Madam Chair, this is Aaron again. Some people do have issues opening zip, depending on what kind of system they're on. I think a couple hundred page PDF document is fine also. So we can, I can combine it all into one PDF or even into three separate PDFs. And that way everybody will get their allocated cases in one file that they can go through or print out at their discretion.
Okay. Does that sound like, that sounds to me like it'll work with everything.
From Bob Clark, that'd be good for me.
Okay. And yes, Commissioner Andrews, sounds good?
Yes, that sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. So now I guess we just want to talk about what we're going to collect, I think. As far as we're going to have to look through, let's see, because we're going to have to come up with some kind of a spreadsheet that we're all using. And maybe I'm just kind of wondering, I don't want to have everybody collect their own data and then we come back and somebody say, oh, I didn't collect that. So to have it make the most sense. So we don't really need the address, I don't think. We need the case number, the date it opened, the date it got compliant, if it did. There's probably going to be a lot of information that we're going to want on a spreadsheet, what priority it is, what the code is for the type of case, and we don't need like the owner's address, I don't think, phone number or anything like that. And that's the tough one, because we're going to be looking for whether they followed their own procedure or not. But if it's still open and there's big gaps, for instance, it took 6 months to close it, then we're going to want some of our own notes saying, okay, why did this take so long? From whatever you can gather from what is in permits plus or talking to somebody at code enforcement to have them explain it. And then we're all going to come to some conclusions with the list we have, each have, and then we can combine it later. But the conclusions I would think would be, did they follow the process? Was there adequate information in the case notes to be able to tell what was going on? That's kind of a good thing. What kind of timeliness is there? And I think we're going to look at the whole 100 cases in the end and say, you know, is this basically timely to what timelines they wanted, whether it was 30 days or from here, or follow-ups were done in timely manner or they weren't, or the case from the time it got opened, when was the time of the initial visit, was that within a certain range? You know, I think we're just going to talk in date ranges and then try to determine from their procedures whether they're coming close to those date ranges or not. And one thing we haven't really looked at, maybe we'll look at this, you know, after we gather all this other information. There's a lot of repeating cases, and it's not going to be code enforcement's fault, but it might be additional information that might be valuable. How effective was this code enforcement process in not having this issue reoccur? But if we only look at something for a year, we may not know, but we could look at history of the address. So I don't know if that's something that we want to look at on the first pass, because there are a lot of repeating cases. It may be in the sample that we have, we won't see any. But that could be a indicator of effectiveness of the process. And so, but that's not in Permits Plus, exactly. You have to look, you would have to look at the address and go and see what its history was to determine that. But that is something that I'm interested in looking at the same address. So commissioners, do you want me to make up a spreadsheet of the columns that I think we should collect information on, and then we can, maybe Aaron can email it out to us, and then we can see if we have any additions to it?
Well, Madam Chair, at the risk of creating an additional meeting, I'd like to offer something that worked very well in an earlier audit where we had gathered together as a group and put our ideas on into a single document. And in this case, what we might do is, if Aaron is willing and available, have a shared screen, and using the objectives of our audit, come up with those items that we need to glean from the reports to help us with, say, for example, item 3, evaluate the effectiveness of enforcement practices. We said we would identify the enforcement practices, methods, tools, methods used to monitor enforcement actions and outcomes, identify criteria used to evaluate, and maybe together capture and log what we want to be looking for as we go through each of these reports and incorporate that into, say, a single Excel spreadsheet of some sort. And I'll sure listen for some feedback from the rest of you.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
Just from my limited time in this, it seems to me that the major problems we're faced with is the shortage of resources and personnel, and what appears to me to be a very confusing reporting system. There are alternate methods of making reports, and it seems like the overall record keeping is somewhat hazy.
Yeah, I think we've listened to a number of pieces of information that indicate there are resource issues of various types, whether it's people or the software or available time. I don't know. I'm looking at the list of the code enforcement audit objectives, as you were just pointing out, Commissioner Andrews, and there's not a lot in here that could be put in a spreadsheet. It's all going to go in the report. But I'm not so sure how much of this could be gleaned from looking at the cases. Some of it will be, so we kind of have a mix of, we're doing one more step with looking at all these cases, and then I totally agree with you, we've got to come up with the report will probably just look like this, and we'll have a section for each part of the report from these objectives. So, I think what we're going to have to do is just look at these cases, write down the information that we can, and about whether each case went according to the manual or not, and the timeliness, and then come to our own conclusions as far as, okay, I had 30 cases, 20 of them were followed the process, 10 didn't, or whatever you know, 10 of them were done in the time frame that the procedure manual indicated they should be done in, and 20 of them didn't. You know, I think there's going to be that conclusion just from looking at the cases. And then we're going to have to go through the audit objectives and work that into here. So, let's see. So, for instance, determine if resources are adequate. Well, we can only say that if cases aren't done in a timely manner, that might indicate that the resources are not adequate. And then we might be able to zero in on that. If it was people, software, turnover, you know, what was the problem? And identify criteria or benchmarks used to evaluate performance. I think right now they've been looking at timeliness as to, and whether, how many they can get into compliance and how quickly. And so we may be able to come up with our own summary as to whether we thought the timeliness was adequate as far as whether, you know, again, it goes back to effectiveness. So yeah, I'm still not quite sure about this data collection. But I know we all need to be looking at the same spreadsheet or the same summary data, writing down the same summary data, and so we can all compare. What did you see? And then we'll add them all up, and put that with the report. We looked at 100 cases, and this is what it showed.
Madam Chair, if I can just clarify, yeah. this is Aaron again. So taking the notes on what the commission talked about, sounds like, of course, you'll want to have that uniform review process. Sounds like the areas that you want to look at are going to be the date open, date closed, the type, and the status, all of which are going to be in the information we've already pulled out of the system. Then the auditor fields that the commissioners will look at, you want to note the time frame and the associated reasons if it's a gap in the time frame.
Yeah.
The process was followed, yes, no. The were there adequate notes, yes, no. And do you consider it timely, both on the aspect of initial complaint to initial review and on notice timeliness, such as 30-day notice was actually followed up on 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds great so far. And Commissioner Andrews, what do you think about that so far?
So far, that's a great place to start so that we're all getting the same data and can create a picture of those items we were looking for and the efficacy of the code enforcement process.
And Commissioner Clark, do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I agree.
Excellent. Yeah, let's start with that. And then I think that, so if Aaron sends us out that spreadsheet and then we each get our cases, then we can go forward with just looking at the cases and collecting our information. And I think we're going to know more as soon as we start looking at them. Maybe if we think it's necessary to collect additional information, feel free to write that down, and then we can share that with each other. okay, I collected information on this. And if we have to go back and collect, you know, one more field or something for 30 cases or 33 cases, it's really not that big of a deal, I don't think. If somebody happened to come up with some other piece of information that they wanted to collect, we could all talk about that, and then we could all go back and look at our own and collect the information to make that data complete. And maybe we'll maybe we have it right in the first place. So yeah. Okay. So do we have any other discussion right now? Aaron's going to make sure that we all get the codes. We're going to get that spreadsheet for data collection. We're each going to get our 33 or 34 cases, and then we'll need to have a set time frame for another meeting after we get all that. And the next meeting, I'd like to make sure that we all had time to look at our cases and record all the data, so we have that spreadsheet coming into the next meeting, if that sounds reasonable. Does that sound good with everybody?
Makes sense to me.
That sounds fine, Madam Chair.
Okay, here we go. Okay. So we'll just look for that information, Aaron, from you whenever you get time out of your busy schedule.
Yeah, I'll work with Lori and see if we can't get those. I'll get the information from her. I'll summarize everything, put it into packets for the commissioners. Possibly this week, I'll send out tentative dates, maybe 3 weeks after that. That way the commissioners have a good 3 weeks, if you think that's appropriate, to go over their documents.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, I think I inadvertently jumped into future agenda items. So I think we've got our discussion of case review process. We've got some future agenda items captured. Do either of the commissioners have any additional future agenda items that you want us to write down so we cover?
I have none at this time.
No. All right.
Okay. Great. And does anybody from code enforcement have any additional comments for whatever? You think we're not on the right track? You think we're going to be having a hard time looking at things? I'm just curious if you have any other additional comments. Lori?
I think what you've discussed and the way we're going to go about it will probably be the best way to do it.
Okay. And Martine, any comments from you?
No, I think... if you run into any snags and have questions, please feel free to reach out to one of us. We'll be glad to assist.
Perfect. Okay. So if nobody has any objections, I'd like to go ahead and adjourn today's meeting. And thank you very much, of course, for everybody attending, commissioners and city representatives, Aaron. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay. Have a good week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All.
Okay.
Bye.